Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the bird flu epidemic right after this. You know, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 40% of what you create and produce. Government gets 60%. That's $20,000 for you, $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? And if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year, and you're going to net 25%, and the government will net 75%. That means that for working twice as hard, producing twice as much, you get to net $4,000 more, or 8% more net take-home pay than you got this year. That's guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. You produce twice as much and get 8% of it. Isn't that just even more special? That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves in the top 5% of income earners and then only get 25% of it. Why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, and it answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we pay so much and receive so little in return. To order your free General Law CD package, just call direct 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the webpage georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for your free General Law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Hey, listen, have you been listening to the news for the last 3 weeks? Every single news broadcast has avian flu, bird flu. It's not just news, it's propaganda. I mean, I don't know what's coming down here, but I have never seen in all of my life such a concentrated propaganda blitz. This is a propaganda blitz greater than the lead-up to the war in Iraq. Remember? They needed to sell that to us. And they did. They went out and they sold it to us. They sold it to us through the television, the news, through newspapers and magazines. And they told us about weapons of mass destructions and Al-Qaeda and 9/11. And they kept intertwining that together. Now we found out that it was all a big lie, but it sold the product that they wanted to sell, and that was war. So I'm watching the news night after night, and every single night there's on all the networks and every newscast there's a story about this avian flu. And so it sends me a signal. Big red flags are coming up in front of my eyeballs, and I say, what in the hell is this all about? They're getting me ready for something, but I'm not quite sure what it is they're getting me ready for. So I got my jar of Vaseline out, make sure I was as prepared as I can get on my end. So I thought, we ought to take a look at this bird flu thing over here, because it sounds like to me that we're being informed subliminally that there's this humongous giant plague coming up, and if it doesn't happen naturally, we have all of the available germ warfare, flu epidemic vaccine, the flu epidemic stuff that we need to create this worldwide pandemic. Now, in the case of Hurricane Katrina, I don't think you can blame that on George Bush. That looked like the fingerprints of God Almighty on that event. Now, when we normally think about plagues and disease epidemics, you know, we think of something that happens by caprice out of the blue. It's something that we don't get warned about. Were people reading in their newspapers back in 1350 that there was this great bubonic plague coming? Or did it just occur and it just happened and all of a sudden we're caught up in it and there it is? In 1918, was there some big warning? Did the newspapers all carry this big warning, flu epidemic coming, be sure that you're prepared, or do something, or do nothing, or at least don't blame us when it happens? No, sir. I've looked into that 1918 flu epidemic, and nobody expected it. It just happened, and the newspapers reported on it. They reported on it after the fact. They didn't predict it. In this epidemic, this worldwide pandemic, they're coming to us and they're telling this is going to happen. And not only are they predicting it, they're telling us it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. It's been around for 8 years, since 1997. Remember, a couple of years ago we had this SARS thing, you know, this microbe, not a microbe, it's a virus. And they told us that the SARS thing over here, my God, if it gets loose, why, it'll just kill people by the tens and hundreds of millions. And I don't doubt it. There's been examples in the past where tens of millions of people have died. We'll cover a few of those examples. And I'll show you that they're not just totally whistling Dixie through a straw hat. And God Almighty himself said that he's going to plague us with disease and pestilence. I just wonder if this is the big disease epidemic that's going to take about one-fourth of mankind. In Revelation chapter 6, there's this story about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It doesn't mention disease or plague per se, but it talks about death and hell. It talks about the wars, the famines, the death and hell, which I would transliterate into something that's pretty bad, wicked, terrible, awful, or evil. And I can't really think of much more than disease that follows famine. In almost every case, when you have famine, you have weakened immune systems, and disease comes in and cleans up the rest. Well, listen to some of these news reports. Here's the status of the bird flu in Europe. Russia has told the European Union that a deadly bird flu outbreak has spread westwards to south of Moscow, the European Commission said on Wednesday. Following are key facts about the status of the bird flu in Europe. In Russia, they told the European Union that an outbreak of the deadly H5N1 avian influenza has been confirmed 160 miles south of Moscow. Russia has been fighting bird flu since mid-July and has killed over 600,000 domestic fowl. Well, that's quite a few bucks. 600,000 chickens, you know, a couple bucks apiece, you know. You got $1 million, $2 million there. In Turkey, the detection of this H5N1 strain of bird flu last week after 2,000 birds died on a farm near the Aegean Sea. In Romania, they reported the presence of the H5N1 strain of bird flu in its Danube Delta region, and a British laboratory confirmed it on Wednesday. The European Union banned all imports of live birds and feathers from Turkey and Romania into the 25-nation European Union bloc. Britain stockpiled 14.6 million courses of the antiviral drug Tamiflu in March of 2005 in case of an outbreak of bird flu. Now, as I speak to you, this is November 2005, so clear back in March, you know, 6-8 months ago, the British were stockpiling this thing called Tamiflu. Now, I hadn't heard too much about this flu until the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, the month of October has been bird flu month. You know, we heard a report every week or two, you know, about bird flu in Asia, bird flu in China, and 60 people died from bird flu. It's not communicable from person to person, but it is from chicken to person, or from chicken to pig to man, or something like that. But I mean, boys and girls, we are really weathering a propaganda blitz right now. And whether it's true or false is irrelevant and immaterial insofar as the story is concerned. I think what we need to do is to prepare to live through it. Now, if it comes, it comes, and I don't want to die from the flu any more than you do. And I've always thought that, you know, as a businessman, I can't think of anything better than peak oil to sell gasoline or a flu vaccine shortage to sell flu vaccine. When you convince people that there's a shortage of something, they want to run out and buy something. They don't want to be left out. They don't want to be the last kid on their block, you know, that doesn't get their share of whatever it is that's in short supply, whether they need any or not. Now, in France, they stepped up checks at airports and building stockpiles of vaccines and treatment. So, like the British, they're stockpiling vaccines and treatment. Denmark intensified monitoring of wild birds and free-range poultry. Finland allocated 20.8 million euros, that's $25 million, to buy enough vaccine to inoculate all 5.2 million people against H5N1 strain of the virus. That's kind of curious, because this H5N1 virus has not mutated to the man-to-man strain, and you cannot, this is the experts now telling us this, you can't produce the vaccine until the virus has manifested itself. Now listen to this again. Finland has allocated $25 million to buy enough vaccine to inoculate all 5.2 million people against this virus. In Bulgaria, they've banned imports of live birds and poultry products from Turkey and Romania, and they stepped up checks at borders and poultry farms. So now, you take a look at these countries in Europe, Finland and Bulgaria. I mean, these people are pretty serious. When you allocate the money and you say, we're going to vaccinate everybody in the country as soon as this vaccine's available, here's the money and we're going to buy it. And they're obviously pretty serious. Germany, southern states of Bavaria, they've banned all poultry from being kept outdoors to prevent bird flu entering the region. Authorities have placed orders for more than 6 million doses of antiviral drugs. Montenegro banned the import of birds and or bird products from affected countries and the hunt of wild birds and the free movement of poultry on private farms. Greece says a first case of bird flu has been detected in the Aegean island of Chios and bans exports of poultry from the island. Hungary, Italy, Poland, they've all got stories here on H5N1. Italy detected a low-risk H5N2 avian virus in April of 2005. Now, that's not H5N1, it's H5N2. A little different breed of virus. All right, now, with that in mind, listen to some more. The EU says Russia confirms the deadly bird flu outbreak. So Russia has told the European Union that a deadly bird flu outbreak has spread westwards to around 120 miles south of Moscow, the European Commission said on Wednesday. And the Commission is preparing to extend its ban on imports of live pet birds and feathers from several regions in Siberia and eastern Russia and the Urals. And the EU veterinary experts and the Commission will finalize the extent of the ban at a meeting in Brussels on Thursday. So already we're starting to see bans on the movement of poultry between nations. We got the entire European Union really nervous about this, being reported daily in the American press. Gets better, though. Bird flu threatens to become a global pandemic. This is a Reuters news alert from London. The World Health Organization, WHO, has issued a series of warnings about an outbreak of a deadly bird flu virus in Asia. Since 2003, the H5N1 avian flu virus has killed dozens of people in Asia and spread from Korea as far as Europe, despite attempts to contain the virus by culling millions of birds. Well, let's think about this thing here pragmatically. Flu, just ordinary, everyday garden variety flu. Here in the United States, kills about 36,000 people a year. Well, automobile accidents, just ordinary, everyday, garden variety automobile accidents kills that many or more people in the United States every year. So what's the big deal? There's a lot of diseases out there that kill a lot of people. So why all of the attention on this thing called bird flu? You know, what's all the excitement about? Well, there may be some good reason to be excited, but I think it comes more from Bible prophecy than it does from Reuters. We'll talk about a little more of that later. But what worries health experts is the possibility that this H5N1 avian flu virus will combine with a human flu virus and then trigger a global flu pandemic. The World Health Organization has warned that if this happens, the world would have just weeks to contain the virus before it spreads, possibly killing millions of people. Underline the words, possibly killing millions of people. Now, that's a bunch more than 36,000. Now, in 1918, here in the United States, I think the number was around 500,000 died. About one half of the people in the country. At that time, there was about 120 million people. So about 60 million people got the flu. Out of the 60 million that got the flu, about 500,000 of them died. Now, around the world, the estimates vary, depends on who you read, but they tell us that somewhere between 20, 30 to 50 million people died in the 1918 flu. They called that a pandemic. It's an epidemic when a bunch of people get it in your neighborhood. It's a pandemic when it goes from nation to nation and around the world. Now, the HIV/AIDS virus is now pandemic. It's everywhere in the world, and it's growing exponentially. Every so many years, it doubles the amount of cases. And if it doesn't stop doubling at some point in time, it's going to consume everybody in the world. Now, fortunately, not everybody succumbs to every virus that comes around. Even the AIDS virus doesn't kill everybody. There are some survivors, and there's always survivors, even from pneumonic plague, bubonic plague, and systemic plague. There were some survivors. But the thing that makes this flu especially worrisome, so the experts say, is that the death rate is about 50%. Now, let me give you the report on that. In 1918, here in the United States, 60 million people got sick, and about 500,000 people died. That's about one person for every 120, or about 0.6% mortality. Or, you know, round it off, about 1% of people that got the flu died. 100 people get the flu, one guy dies. It's actually less than that. It's more like 200 people get the flu and one guy dies. All right. Well, that's pretty serious. I mean, you know, if you got 100 people that get a cold and one of them dies from it, you know, nearly everybody in the country gets a cold every year at least once or twice. And gosh, if you died once every 200 times, you know, that'd be kind of serious, wouldn't it? All right. Now, you carry that a step further. The bubonic plague killed around 30%. 30%. Boy, that is virulent, they call it. That's big time. 100 people get bubonic plague and 33 of them die, about a third. Then they got pneumonic plague. And that pneumonic plague, it was even worse. But again, it didn't kill everybody, but boy, it killed a bunch. It would kill about two-thirds. Around 70% of people that got the pneumonic plague would die from it. And that just scared the pee-wadding out of everybody. And then they got a thing there called systemic plague. And it killed about 90%. Now, these are three varieties of this bubonic plague, which killed up to 100 million people. Nobody really knows exactly how many. Depends on what you read and where you read it. Some estimates tell you it's 30 million, some 60, some 100. But it was a bunch of people. Killed about half the people of Europe during the Middle Ages. Well, that's pretty severe. If you took that in the United States and killed half the people in the United States, you know, you'd be killing about 150 million people. That's every other person You know, just take a look around the room and just, you got six people in the room, just send three of them out and those are the three that die. That's pretty serious. This plague here, this bird flu kills 50%, 54 I think I saw the other day. So 54%. Now we're talking about the death rate of bubonic plague now. You know, bubonic plague killed about a third. Pneumonic plague killed about two-thirds. And this plague here is going to kill about 54%. Now, that's pretty serious. We haven't seen anything like that since the bubonic plague. And I think that probably is part of the modus operandi or the motivation on the part of public health workers and government officials, etc. After what happened with Katrina and Rita, I think that the government's getting a little gun-shy and they're going to warn us ahead of time, hey, listen, when you get this flu and it kills you, don't blame us. We told you it was coming. And the thing that bothers me the most is that when government can tell you that this is coming, it says that if God doesn't send it upon us through natural means, that the government will send it upon us by expedient means. Now, I reported to you the Global 2000 program here about, I don't know, a month or so ago. Just take a look at our archives and take a look at Global 2000. And I made a report in there by Dr. Stanley Monteith, where the Club of Rome and a number of other groups here in the United States are actually praying for, hoping for, a virus that will eliminate much of the useless eaters, as they call them. That's people like you and I, useless eaters. If you're not a member of the elite, well then, of course, you're just consuming food and fiber and natural resources, and we could just do without you. Thank you. And when I take a look at that, and I compared that for you with Bible prophecy, remember Isaiah 6, verse 13, the God of the Bible, this is the God of Abraham, says, I'm going to save one-tenth alive. Well, here's the Club of Rome people saying we're going to eliminate 90% of the world's population over the next 50 years. And here's God saying, I'm going to save one-tenth of you alive. And the two of them kind of dovetail together. So when I hear this propaganda about this avian bird flu, and I think about Isaiah 13, and I think about the Club of Rome, and I think about the reduction of the Earth's population by 90%, you know, pretty soon these little factoids start to gel, and I say to myself, oh my God, I think maybe these guys are really serious. Now, this bird flu then threatens to become a global pandemic. That's what they're telling us. That's going to kill about half the people that it infects. Now, they expect it to infect about half the people in the world. Half. Well, you get about 6 billion people in the world. If it affects half of them, that's about 3 billion. And if it kills half, that's about 1.5 billion. Now, if you take a look at Revelation chapter 6, there's a statement in there around verse 7, 8, 9, along in there, and God says, I'm going to kill, I'm going to destroy the fourth part of men. Let me read that to you. I'll see if I can find it here. You have to be patient with me because I'm really not trained in the seminary. But I think I can find this in Revelation chapter 6. I think it was around verse 7, 8, 9, something like that. Let's see if I can put my finger on it here for you, and I'll read it to you. Where it's talking about killing a fourth part of men, I say to myself, my God, it sounds kind of like this flu. Verse 7, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth, the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So you have four things there that you need to be concerned about. It's war, that's the sword. The fourth part of the earth, that's 1.5 billion people at this juncture of time. Hunger, that's starvation, that's famine. And with death, and with the wild beasts of the earth. Now, if you die from this flu, I imagine that the wild beasts of the earth will come in and eat your bodies, because I can't imagine having ordinary everyday garden variety funerals for 1.5 billion people in 3 or 4 days' time. When people die rapidly, they have to open up big graves with caterpillar tractors and just dump the bodies in and cover them over. You see that every time there's a big disaster. All right, now going back here to the article here, Fact Box. The World Health Organization says that the only possibility of containing this virus is to inoculate between 300,000 and 1 million people with antivirals as this pandemic is detected. However, now here comes your but sept, the antiviral stocks are limited, and the World Health Organization, who will receive 1 million doses by the end of 2005 and a further 2 million by mid-2006. And that sends a message to me. See, how can you get these antiviral doses? I guess they're not talking about vaccinating you to prevent it. I guess they're talking about treating you after you've got it. So they want to get stockpiles of millions of doses of this so that they can treat you. And a little later on, we'll see a couple of stories in here. They're talking about quarantine. Quarantines. I mean, they're going to take whole regions of the country. They're going to shut down things like the airlines. There'll be no more air travel. Worldwide. Worldwide. Can you picture this? Can you picture shutting down all of the air travel in the world? What do you think that's going to do to the economy? How do you think that's going to, how's that going to affect your stock and your bond portfolio? And the Chinese over there say that they're going to affect quarantine when the first case, well, that's what they're telling me. I'm just giving you a report here, so don't get mad at me if you don't believe it. I didn't get on the air here to convince you that I'm right. I'm just a reporter. I'm just here to tell you. Here are the facts. Here's what your elected leaders, here's what the people in the know, here's what the mainstream media is reporting to us. How you take it and what you do with it, I guess, is your business in life. This World Health Organization predicts that in the best case scenario, between 2 and 7.5 million people could die if H5N1 acquires the ability to spread from person to person easily. In the worst case scenario, as many as 150 million people could die. Now, we're talking about millions here. There are some other reports in here that talk about as many as 2 billion people. Now, that's one-third of the people on the planet. Now, I know you're going to say, well, yeah, we've heard this kind of BS many times in the past. And it's like the little boy cries wolf. You know, people have been waiting for the second coming for 2,000 years, and the Apostle Paul thought it was coming in his lifetime, and he died disappointed, didn't happen. And everyone's been waiting for it and expecting it in their lifetimes, and my Aunt Bessie died 10 years ago and didn't happen in her lifetime. And I'm probably going to die and it didn't happen in my lifetime, but every day that goes by brings the event one day closer. And some of you people out there at some point in time are going to have to face the reality of this thing called the Great Tribulation, which is talking about the fourth part of men. And that's what these guys are talking about here, 2 billion. Now, so far, they're talking about 7 to 150 million people. Now, boys and girls, this is a number of people dying in a plague that we haven't seen on planet Earth in our lifetime, and indeed hasn't occurred on this planet since 1350. 1350, that's about 650 years ago. Now, this H5N1 avian flu virus is one of 15 known subtypes of bird disease caused by type A strains of influenza. H5N1 is an avian flu strain that emerged in Hong Kong in 1997, killing or forcing the destruction of 1.5 million chickens, ducks, and geese. It infected 18 people and killed 6. Well, shucks, that's only a third. That's only 33% mortality. But that was in 1997. Evidently, it has killed more people. 60 have died so far. The World Health Organization says that the quick slaughter of all potentially infected birds may have averted the pandemic so far. H5N1 avian influenza reemerged in Korea in 2003. And by mid-October of 2005, it had been found in birds in Cambodia, China, Greece, Indonesia, Japan, Kazakhstan, Korea, Laos, Malaysia, Mongolia, the Philippines, Romania, Russia, Taiwan, Thailand, and Vietnam. And it's just a matter of time until it gets over here to the Americas. Birds that survive infection with H5N1 excrete the virus for at least 10 days orally and in feces, making it highly likely to spread. Migratory birds, usually wild ducks, are the natural reservoir of avian influenza viruses, and usually they do not become sick when infected. Domestic poultry, including chickens and turkeys, die quickly when they're infected. Several companies are working on an H5N1 vaccine. The ordinary flu vaccine does not protect against avian flu. Two antiviral drugs can help against the infection, and they may even prevent it if taken at precisely the right time. They're not vaccines, but they can help to reduce the flu symptoms and the risk of an infected person passing the flu on to others. These products are called Tamiflu, known generically as something or other, and Relenza, known generically as something else that I can't pronounce. All right, now you got these drugs out here, and it sounded like to me last year that they were trying to sell drugs. That was the drift I got. There's nothing better to sell a product than to tell people that there's a shortage. Hang on, I got to give you a mid-course reminder, and then once we get the reminder out of the way, we'll be back with more on this avian bird flu when we come back. Now, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule in our archives. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, georgegordon.org is the website, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, talking about bird flu, China says that they're going to shut their borders if they're struck by the bird flu. China, they say, will shut its borders if there is a single case of human-to-human transmission of bird flu in the country, its deputy health minister has said. As bird flu entered Britain yesterday with the discovery of the virus in a parrot in quarantine, Hang Jifu said saving lives would be Beijing's main priority, even if it meant a slowdown in the economy. His warning came as finance specialists predicted that a flu pandemic could devastate Asian economies. The Asian Development Bank said a mild outbreak would cost the region up to $110 billion in reduced consumption, investment, and trade, and a more severe outbreak would lead to global recession. Bird flu has killed 60 people in four Southeast Asian countries and has led to the deaths of tens of millions of birds since 2003. A flu pandemic would be triggered if the lethal H5N1 strain mutated into a form that could jump from human to human. Yesterday, the bank announced that it would provide $58 million in grants to help combat the disease before it spreads. Many economic activities would be brought to a halt while the health systems of most countries would be overwhelmed. In Britain, it was revealed that 20,000 doctors will receive emergency training on how to deal with a pandemic. The course to teach doctors how to spot symptoms, provide quick treatment, and ensure infection control will be rolled out by the Health Protection Agency in the next few weeks. A spokeswoman for the HPA, I guess that's the Health Protection Agency, said that the organization would provide the training through doctors at a website accessed by 85% of Britain's medical profession. The biggest risk to Britain would be if the virus mutated. The mutation would take place most likely in Asia, although it could mutate any place in the world, and it was then spread by international travelers traveling on airlines all over the world. Even if China was to close its borders, said Britain's chief medical officer, it would not be enough to stop a pandemic from coming to Britain. Sir Liam Donaldson told The Observer that the modeling work that we have done does suggest that the most time that we might buy is 2 weeks. He said preventing the spread by blocking borders would only work if we grounded every flight in the world. That's a highly unrealistic option, he said. A ban would be particularly difficult, he added, if the mutation occurred in a major travel hub, such as Singapore or Hong Kong. One of the cases of SARS which we had in the United Kingdom was a person who came in with it and had done 7 different flights between countries before arriving in Great Britain. You have these highly complex travel patterns now. And while Donaldson said that it was unlikely that Britain would need to take drastic steps such as closing its borders and using quarantine, the government's recently updated contingency plans do allow for serious measures if the pandemic assumes nightmare proportions. Now, in the worst-case scenario, schools could be closed, people prevented from moving, and airports closed down. But health officials said that such a catastrophic scenario was extremely remote and stressed that the UK was well positioned to ensure that the threat of bird flu was contained. It's simply a matter of keeping our options open. It's unlikely that we would have to go down that route, said a spokeswoman for the Department of Health. Donaldson also sought to reassure the public about food safety. He said, "We know that there have been a huge number of questions about the safety of chickens and of eating chicken. It's as safe as ever, but people are worried about it. That's a concern that we need to address." The Food Standards Agency stated that avian flu does not pose a food safety risk for the United Kingdom and consumers in Great Britain. For people, the risk of catching the disease comes from being in close contact with live poultry that have the disease and not through eating cooked poultry or eggs. Now, I've got another article in here. A fellow over in Vietnam stole some chickens that had the bird flu. He ate them and died. We'll take a look at that as we progress along. I'm not so sure that eating the flesh of the chickens that have avian flu is going to be as benign as that article tells us, But then, of course, as you're reading through 10 or 15 articles, you'll find that there are statements in those articles that will be at odds with one another. And as lay people, you know, like you and I, you know, what in the hell are we supposed to believe? As old Will Rogers said, hell, all I know is what I read in the papers. And that's about what I know. It's about what you know. It's what we read in the papers. Now, what are you going to do if the flu breaks out? Have you got a plan? What if you can't get one of these vaccines? What if you can't get one of these remedies? Well, I'm going to tell you as we progress along that there is a natural remedy against flu, AIDS, herpes, VD, all of these viruses and bacterial infections. Been around for thousands of years. Now, it's not some big secret. It's not very well known. While it's not a secret, it's available to everybody. I mean, the natural remedies have been out there. I mean, hell, you probably got them in your own house right now. You probably have control if you knew what they were and how to use them. I'll take one program in this series and we'll cover the health aspects of protecting yourself from the flu. For instance, I have not had my flu vaccine this year, and I'm going to avoid getting that flu vaccine like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Now, I reported on that just a few weeks back on a series of programs on vaccinations. Told you the story on vaccinations. And again, I'm not trying to tell people not to get vaccinated. That's a choice for you to make. My choice is I'm going to pass and let you have my share of the vaccine. And I'm going to take a different route into combating this flu. Now, keep in mind that this flu strain now kills 54%. Well, that's the rate so far. So far, science shows us that the demonstrable effects of this flu is that 54 people out of 100, when 100 people get it, 54 of them die, 46 of them survive it. So you got about a 50-50 chance. Now, when you get the flu, do you want to be sitting there saying, God, you know, I've got a 50-50 chance of living? Or would you rather live the rest of your life without getting the flu? I think that's a little bit better. And then if you do get the flu, what do you do about it? Don't you think maybe a natural remedy that's been around for the last 4,000 or 5,000 years that works 100% of the time might be better? I mean, I'm not telling you not to go to the medical doctors, not to get your shots, not to go to the pharmaceutical agencies and take your Tamiflu. If that's your choice, you know, get after it. Listen to this. Flu shots are not as effective in the elderly as they were once thought. I reported on that to you in the vaccine programs. If you want to see what happens, if you over the past 10 years have gotten 5 flu shots over the past 10 seasons, your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease are increased by 10 times. So if you want to trade the flu for Alzheimer's disease, be my guest. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But that was a report that came out from the CDC, I believe it was, and I said, Jesus, you know, here's the health professionals. These are the guys that keep track of these numbers and statistics, and they're telling us, hey, if you have 5 shots out of 10 years, your risk of getting Alzheimer's increases by 10 times. And right away I say, no, I don't think I want to get involved in that flu thing at all. I think I'll combat the flu through some other remedy. Well, in London, a new analysis of 40 years of research provides more evidence that flu shots are not as effective in the elderly as commonly believed. But health officials said older people should still be vaccinated. God, it's not very effective, but you should get vaccinated anyway. Well, of course you should. Everybody should get vaccinated. Because everybody that's vaccinated is doing his part to sustain the economy. You're spending money. You're supporting doctors and the pharmaceutical industry. You're supporting the payments that are made on shares of stocks. Dividends support many people. Now, of course, if it impairs your health and gives you Alzheimer's disease, that's the price that we pay for supporting the economy. Now, the research was done by an international collaboration of scientists known as the Cochrane Review Group. Cochrane. Cockinane is what it sounds like. But Cochrane Review Group found that the vaccine is only about 28% effective when given to people over 65. People, older people, are particularly vulnerable to influenza. That's true. Older people have weakened immune systems. Now, the only surefire methodology for curing disease is your own personal immune system. If your immune system doesn't work, you die. It's just that simple. Now, there is a methodology out here to build your immune system. It's called diet. It's called food. You know, you eat good food, you can build your immune system. And if you eat bad food, then you'll tear down your immune system. It's a choice that you make every time you go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. It's a choice that you make. People make that choice every day. I'm not opposed to Big Macs. I'm not opposed to people going to McDonald's. I'm just here to tell you that these flu vaccines now are only 28% effective. That means that for 72% of people who go in and get the flu shot, it doesn't do diddly squat for you. And I doubt that it does anything for the other 28%. Because remember, if you take 100 people and you give them all a flu shot, 72 of them get the flu, and they say, well, the flu would have been much worse, and you would have been much sicker had you not gotten the vaccine. And of the 28 who didn't get the flu, we know that statistically, if you took another 100 people and never gave them a shot at all, that less than 28 of them would get the flu to start with. So, you know, the truth of the matter is, when you shoot somebody up with this vaccine, there isn't any empirical proof that the vaccine works. Period. Go back to my series on vaccines. But hey, listen, if it makes you feel good, and it makes you more confident, and you feel better about life and feel better about yourself, well, by all means, go out and get your shot. On the other hand, if you're concerned about the statistical analysis, what are my chances of getting the flu? What are my chances of getting Alzheimer's disease? What are my chances of side effects? And is there some other remedy? Well, then why don't you look a little further? There's, I think, some better answers out there. So keep in mind that if you get your shot, it's at best. These are the experts now. This is MSNBC. I mean, my God, if you can't believe NBC, who can you believe? Going on. The findings are similar to those of a study done by the U.S. National Institute of Health that found flu shots for the elderly in the United States had not saved lives. Let me repeat that. On the one hand, they tell us, health officials said older people should still be vaccinated. Okay. And then, the findings are similar to those of a study done in the U.S. National Institute of Health that found that flu shots for the elderly in the United States had not saved lives. Get your shot, but it won't save any lives. I'm sitting here saying, well, okay, well, why do we need shots if it ain't going to save our life? And if it's going to give us a 10 times greater risk of getting Alzheimer's disease, and it isn't going to save anybody's life, and that's the National Institute of Health, and that's the, what's this outfit, the Cochrane Review Group in Great Britain, who in his right mind would want to get the shot? But again, if it makes you feel good, you know, if you've been propagandized to the point that I would just feel better knowing. Kind of reminds me of these old tire ads years ago. This tire company would come on there and they'd be showing a picture, and this woman is driving down the road and it's lightning and thundering, and there's two little children in the back seat, and they're all strapped in here, you know, with their seat harnesses. Like they're, you know, they're being transported to a penitentiary. They're locked in and they're strapped down in the back seat. And this woman, it's the middle of the night, it's blacker than a witch's, you know what. And she's driving down the road, and then the ad says, Wouldn't you feel better knowing that your wife is traveling on Dunlop tires or Goodyear tires or whatever brand they're selling? So what they're saying, in effect, is if your wife ain't driving down the road in the middle of the night in the thunderstorm, driving on this particular brand of tires over here, you ought to feel real bad. Hell, I never felt bad about my wife driving down the road on any brand of tires. One tire is as good as another. I know somebody's going to sit there and write me an email now and say, well, you dunderhead, I'm here to tell you that Goodyear tires are much better than, you know. Oh, okay. The engineers over at that other good company over there, they don't know what they're doing, but the engineers over at this company do. You know, we suffer from so much propaganda and so many lies told so often that I think we all become cynics. I know I'm one. And I don't deny it. I sit here and say, the hell are these people trying to tell me anyway? On the one hand, here's this prestigious group. The health officials of Great Britain say older people should be vaccinated. Here's the National Institute of Health says, here in the United States, it hasn't saved any lives. However, the World Health Organization, there's an outfit now for you, the World Health Organization and the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention said that the findings published Thursday on the website of the Lancet Medical Journal do not change their recommendation that elderly people get their shots. So we recommend that you get your shots, even though it doesn't save any lives. Okay. There are a number of studies published. I guess I would recommend that, too. You know, if I was a pharmaceutical CEO, I'd say, I recommend that you get your vaccine. Figuring that, you know, there's about 10 pharmaceutical companies out here, and they're all making this vaccine, and I got a 10-to-1 shot. If you go out and get a shot, that you're going to be buying some of mine. You know, I recommend that you come to my law school. Now, of course, you may be sitting there saying, why would I want to go to the Gordon Law School? Well, because it stimulates the economy. It supports me. It makes me money. I mean, if you're going to support Pfizer, why not support George Gordon? Whether you need it or not, I recommend it. I recommend it. If I had a loved one who was in the high-risk group, I would strongly recommend that they get vaccinated. That's one doctor over here. His name is Tom Skinner. He's a CDC spokesman. In the study, researchers combined the results of 64 studies and concluded that flu shots reduced by 28% the chance of an elderly person ending up in a hospital with influenza or pneumonia. The results were better when the elderly people lived in nursing homes. When you're in a nursing home and you get your flu vaccine, you have less chance of getting influenza or pneumonia. Well, I'm not in a nursing home, so why would I want to get a vaccine? And they say it isn't going to save your life, but it might keep you from getting sicker. That's what they're telling you. For 28%. 28%. It's hardly worth getting out of bed for, but then, you know, don't let me tell you how to live your life. Here's another one from WHO. Impossible to estimate pandemic deaths. The UN Health Agency on Friday said that it was impossible to estimate how many people would die from a new influenza pandemic, adding that it has warned countries to prepare for a death toll of up to 7.4 million. That's a bunch, 7.4 million. We think that this is the most reasoned position, said World Health Organization spokesman Dick Thompson, warning that you could pick almost any number. Wait a minute. You could pick almost any number? Well, let me pick a number. He picked 7.4 million. Let me pick 74.2 million. All right, now you go ahead and pick a number, would you? Let's see. I hear it. 63.6 million. Okay, now you pick a number. What the hell are these people trying to sell us? You read this article over here, it says, well, could kill up to 7.4 million people, our study shows. And then he goes on to say, well, you could pick almost any number. Hell, that doesn't tell us anything, does it? What the hell kind of insanity is this? All right, the bottom line is, George Gordon does not know whether or not there's going to be a flu pandemic, and neither does anybody else on the planet. Save maybe for the perpetrators. Now, it could well be, I got to tell you a little story here, getting ahead of myself here, but in 1919, they had a particularly virulent strain of the flu. They say that was a bird flu also. In fact, I'm beginning to wonder if maybe this bird flu that we're talking about right now isn't the same exact 1918 strain. Listen to this. The other day I was watching TV, I think it was on McNeil there, and this doctor said that he was trying to isolate and get some samples of, and then isolate, this 1918 strain of the flu. You see, back in 1918, nobody thought about it. Nobody saved it. I mean, you know, it's like saving polio virus. Who in his right mind would want to save polio virus? Who would want to have a little tube or a little vial of smallpox virus in his desk drawer? Normal people, I mean, you know, people like Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, people like you and me, we don't have little vials of deadly strains of bacteria and viruses that we keep in the top drawer of our desks. Now, do we? Now, here's this doctor. He comes out and he says, well, we might need this. And he went over to Finland, I think it was. And they dug up some graves over there, because see, that's cold up there, and they went up there and they found some graves where these people had been buried after they died from the flu back in 1918, dug them up and took some samples, and now they've got this virus. Do you suppose maybe somebody might have thought of that in 1960 or 1970? I mean, some guy over in Fort Detrick, Maryland, you know, some germ warfare dude who doesn't have anything better to do than to sit around and get paid government money slopping off of the government taxpayers' trough and said, I wonder if we could get a real nasty, deadly virus for a germ warfare weapon. Did you know, boys and girls, that more people died from the flu in 1918 than died in World War I? If you take all of the casualties from World War I, all of the killing fields, you know, all those days when they had big battles and they killed 30, 40, 50,000 people in a day. The flu killed more people than all those battles in 4 years of war combined, including all the civilians and all of the soldiers on both sides. In the whole damn war, more of them died from the flu. And this guy came along, this doctor, just recently, this just 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he says, we need to get that strain of the flu. Now, let me ask you, boys and girls, just to ask yourself this question. If Osama bin Laden had this strain of flu, do you suppose that maybe he might use it? You suppose maybe he might stick it in somebody's water supply in Miami, Florida, or Los Angeles, or someplace else? Has it ever occurred to you that maybe some other wicked, evil people around the world, beside Osama bin Laden, who is the world's wickedest, evilest person alive today. But, I mean, could there be somebody that maybe 2nd, 3rd, or 15th, or 37th most wicked, evil person might have thunk that one up and might have some of that virus? I would say that most of us normal people, it never entered their minds that somebody might take an airplane and fly it into a building. It never entered my mind that somebody might dig up a frozen body in Finland and then extract from it the deadly virus, which is still alive in this. Viruses aren't alive, but it's still intact in this dead body. And now they are taking that virus and they're shooting it into eggs, and they're making more of this deadly virus that killed 50 million people back in 1918. Can you believe that kind of crap goes on planet Earth? And these are the doctors. I mean, these are the good guys. These are the medical professionals doing this. You suppose maybe some bad, wicked guys thought of that first, and maybe that's what we're faced with here. I'm about out of time. We've got to leave it right there for this program, but we'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same station, with more on this story of the bird flu. Now, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Go to our website for that information. All of these law or programs are archived on the internet by title and date. Hey, we're out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So thanks for listening, and until then, good night, friends.